Oh, hey, I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to the Efficiency Bitch podcast. I'm your host, Melissa Leone. This podcast is dedicated to all the women out there who are aspiring to have a career while raising a family. And bitch? Well, that's more than a name and even an attitude. We use it as an acronym. It's for bank, inbox, time, connection, and harmony. Each episode is labeled according to the correct topic so that you can efficiently find the topic that you're looking for. I'm here to tell you, you can have your cake and eat it too. The trick is finding efficient ways to get through the have-tos so that you can make room for your best life. I can show you how. Let's get started. Hey, welcome to the Efficiency Bitch podcast. I'm your host, Melissa Leone. I'm excited for today's episode. I'm going to introduce you to a woman who I've known for a little bit over a year now, I think. She's a client of ours at Two Cents Consulting and a really awesome business owner. Lisa, hi. How are you? Good morning.
Hi, Melissa. Good morning to you. Thanks for inviting me on this.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this episode. So we're going to talk connection and specifically community, connection, competition, all the C words that kind of come into being a small business owner. But first, let's start with who you are, where you come from, and how you do life.
Ooh, how I do life. That's good. Do you want the counselor version of this background or the LinkedIn version?
Oh, I like the first one. Let's go.
All right. I was born in a small town in southern Indiana. Just kidding. Yeah. I don't go back that far. Now, I went to college for marketing and sport administration. And here I am as a professional organizer.
I love it.
Which sometimes feels like a sport.
What is sports administration?
So it's basically being the back end of sports.
Oh, all right. Like professional sports or any sports?
Yeah. Any sport. So it ranged from recreational sports to professional sports. So in the front office of it and how to run them and different like sports law I had to learn and sports rules and stuff. I started out in advertising, switched my major to marketing, realized this sport administration existed. So picked it up as a double major because I realized quickly that it's a hard job to get into. There aren't many jobs out there. You would have to travel a lot just for your job. Mm-hmm. Not that high paying unless you get way up there. I then got my first job in advertising, was in that for about 15 years, I think. I choose not to do the math. So the last 4 years, I was at a startup. The last 8 years, I think. I was at a startup digital ad agency. I was employee number 14 there. Grow my side of the business there, which was account service. Mm-hmm. And then about 4 years after I was there, they asked me to move to an HR role because the company was growing so big and we didn't have rules. Mm-hmm. We didn't have HR. We didn't have set training and all of this stuff. So I took on that role and it was a lot of organizing in the sense of how does a company work? How do people work? How does a company work with its people? Mm-hmm. Doing payroll and human resources and operations taught me a lot. And it taught me that I hated it.
People over the admin.
Well, so I'm all yes of the none of the above.
People's the hardest part of work, isn't it? Always.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. So I knew I didn't want to do that. I knew I couldn't really go back to the client side of it because I had been off of it for 4 years. So especially in digital marketing, I knew enough to be dangerous, but I wasn't having to get a job. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to figure out what else I wanted to do. And I guess I took the organizing part of that HR role. Mm-hmm. And everybody says they know exactly where they found organizing or who they followed or who they heard it from. And I have no clue. I don't remember at all where I came across it, but I do remember. So every year, friends of mine take off the first Thursday and Friday of the NCAA March Madness. Mm-hmm. We sit in a bar and watch basketball all day until we had kids. And then we all had to leave at 4:30. Real bummer. But I remember sitting on that Thursday or Friday, and I told my good friend who had been in advertising with me, but then became a nurse of all things. I told her I was looking into professional organizing, and she was like, oh, I have a friend that does that. You should talk to her. So I had no idea. I talked to this friend and just got enough ideas to, I actually asked two local people if they wanted me as part of their team, and neither one of them wanted a team at the time. So I guess there's only one way to go about this. So I started my own business in November of 2019. Did it on the side of my advertising job for a year, which was perfect because of everything COVID. I had to shut down doing organizing for, I think, 4 or 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have to panic because I was in my full-time job working from home that whole time.
Yeah.
Then by August of that year, I was booked out for the rest of the year for the availability I had. By October of that year, I had a nervous breakdown drinking beer with my 3 college roommates. We actually, just this past weekend, we went to the bar where it happened. And we're like, that's the table where the boys had a breakdown. Like, you guys. Yeah, sure is. But yeah, I went hard, had those beers with my friends, came home to my husband, who I had been, he's a finance guy. Not much. We don't do huge risks and leaps and bounds in life without it being planned.
Sure. I can relate to that. Yes.
Yeah, there you go. Honestly, I can relate to that too. I'm a little bit more spontaneous. And by a little, it's not a lot. But I have been keeping so many financial records for us,
mm-hmm.
showing like projection. Here's what I would have to book and here's what I think I could do. And I did it in a nice spreadsheet and then I handed it to him and he was like, not the right format. Do it in this format instead. All right, fine. I did it in that format. And we were just kept watching the numbers and just watching. And after that afternoon of beers, I just came home and said, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
At the end, so this was October, I went and told my boss, not right away. It wasn't that grand gesture.
Sure.
But went in, I don't know, a week or two later, and said, I will go through the end of the year. I'm done. Yeah, I've been doing it full time since January of 21.
That's awesome. It's such an emerging industry. I think when I'm lucky enough to work with dozens of professional organizers now all over the country, and it's a phenomenal industry, but it's still pretty new. I feel like there's not a lot of people who know about it. I think Marie Kondo really helped push it into the forefront of the media anyway. But there's so much more to it than just folding and finding out if it gives you joy or not, right? Like her show gave it that appeal. But it certainly has grown quite a bit over the last 10 years for sure. And I feel like through the pandemic, it really accelerated a lot of people into moving into this space. What kind of change, before I ask you about the change question, because I am very interested in how you've seen it grown, one of the things that fascinates me about this industry is the community that has been created across the country and probably internationally as well. But it's predominantly women. And because it's a bootstrapped industry, you all have come together in so many ways, in so many collaborators, education and communities online. And like, how do you do it? How do you do it? What are you doing over there? And it's really cool. But then also, when you're local, it's fierce competition because there's only so many people who are professional organizers. So I'm just curious, like, one, how you feel about that awesome community that you all have built as professional organizers to bring new generations up, but you're also building your own competition at the same time.
So my biggest philosophy, and this is, it's so tricky in our business, and I could go on forever. So you're going to have to put some backlash in here. Again, I'm going to summarize first, and then I'll go into detail. My philosophy is it's community over competition until the competition is in your community. Because, okay, first I'll answer the first part that you said. I do believe in community. I don't want that to get lost. But I don't think it's all or nothing in that area. So I know some organizers local and across the nation that have been in this for 10 years more, 8 years more, before the boom really hit, mm-hmm. they were all solo organizers. None of them have teams. None of them even really dreamt of having teams. But they were all very isolated, very lonely, very trying to figure everything out on their own. And this isn't an industry. Like, it doesn't take much, honestly, to get into it. You don't need to raise capital. You don't need to put a business plan together for someone. Like, right. You really just, honestly, wake up one day and start a business industry. Whether you have clients or not is the thing, but it doesn't take much. So the positive part of Marie Kondo, and really now I think the Home Edit, is bringing awareness to the industry. I think how it's changed even within the last 2 or 3 years for me is that when I'm out and about, people ask what I do. I say I'm a professional organizer. It used to be, what the hell's that? Who paid you to do this? You're making this up.
Yeah.
Now the reaction is, oh my God, I need you in my house.
Yeah.
Or, oh my God, that's so cool. You're never coming to my house. I've been visiting friends and I'm like, I'm thirsty. Can I have a glass of water? They're like, yeah, the glass is, no, don't go in there. I'll get you the glass.
They're afraid of your judgment or that you're going to start organizing things for them.
And I'm like, I just want a glass. I'll help myself. Well, I want it.
Yeah, that's good.
So it's really funny that as soon as someone says, oh yeah, can you get me this? No, don't.
Yeah.
Anyway, but now people know what it is. They've heard of it. And now it's funny because now you're met with, oh yeah, I know so-and-so who does that. I know so-and-so who does that. Oh, I just had someone come and do it. So you're met with competition almost right away. When I first started, and honestly, I feel like I was part of the boom. So I came in and I'm an OG. I'm not even going to pretend that like I was part of the after boom. I don't know if you want to say that, but it's just really changed in the mindset that people have for it. But what I think has to be also said is that because, like I said, this is such an industry that you can just start tomorrow. You have so many people who are considering this a hobby.
Yeah.
Because I did it as a side job. I get that. But I also had the intention always of it being full-time, where some people don't. And actually, that's how I got my own assistant. She reached out and said, I want to start my own business. She was 2 miles from me, 3 miles from me. She's, hey, I'm looking to start my own organizing business. Can you answer some questions for me? So I did. Community. I'll answer these 3 easy questions for you. She came back, I think, I don't remember the exact cadence, but she came back and said thank you. And I think had one more question. And I'm like, before we go any further, do you want to, instead of running your own business, because she had her own business on the side that was not organizing related. Like, why go after 2 sets of clients that you don't have? You could just come work for me. And fast forward, it's been over a year now. She has seen how I run the business and how much is involved. Not only physically, but after you leave the client's house, you're not done as a business owner. Like, you have so much work to do afterward. I think of. And she was just amazed. She was like, I could have never done this on my own. I had no idea all of this went into it, like the product sourcing and the shopping and the thinking of the strategy behind the organizing, not put things in boxes. So seeing her viewpoint of someone who thought they could do it on their own and how much work actually goes into it, this is no way to have that mindset. Consumers and potential organizers. Know what you're in for.
It really does blow my mind just how community driven this particular industry is. I've got tons of restaurant clients. They don't all get together and have like restaurant forums. There's businesses that are out there to support restaurants, or like law firms. They don't get together in the same way that professional organizers does. And the woman who introduced us, Lori Palau, and if you're listening to this, go listen to her podcast, which is This Organized Life. Lisa and I are both big, we're both big fans. There's so many cool people out there like Lori who are teaching and supporting organizing communities in order to build this. And I think it's so cool. But then like when someone gets local, you were able to bring your assistant in. You all, okay, let's back up for a second. There's only a certain type of people who wants professional organizers in their home, whether they can afford it, they're in the right phase of life. All of the criteria exist. It's not necessarily a for everyone type of product. It can be considered a luxury product, it's service in most places and areas. So how do you manage local competition in times where you essentially are all fishing from the same pond? How do you make sure that there's enough fish? And how do you evolve your business to manage some of those competition situations so that you and keep the smile on your face for local community? It's hard stuff.
It is hard stuff. And it's a wonderful thing that we have this community. Like you said, a lot of industries don't have it. And again, how that industry has evolved is that so many organizers that did it from the OG times, now they're becoming not just business coaches, but specific to professional organizing coaches. So the fact that there can be so many of them specific to our niche,
I think it's both.
Whatever you want to say. That speaks even more of how much it's grown.
Yeah.
So keeping the smile on your face and stuff. It's, you have to be smart about it. So your community needs to be a little bit broader than your actually bounded community in your area. And I think there's a great way to help people next door to you without giving away the secret sauce. So you really have to differentiate yourself.
Yeah.
A lot of that with professional organizing and really any service-based business is your own personality. That's what you're bringing to it.
Yep.
We can all learn tips and tricks, and you either have a knack for it or you don't. That will, if you don't have it, you're going out of business soon. But it's being really comfortable of who you are and who you're taking into someone's home. Because like you said, and I was told this when I was starting my business, the two girls that I met with locally, I was like, is there enough business for this? Because I know you two already do it. And who knows who else I don't know about. And they're like, there's so much business. It's completely fine. I think that the business has changed since then, that it's way more saturated now. So I would be curious to see if they ever would tell the same thing to a new person. Because to your point, it's not only are they ready financially, do they think about it, all that stuff, but it's, you have to be really vulnerable to let someone in. Because totally. I really like touching your skivvies, people, and we're talking about them.
Totally.
It's the personality that you have to bring, and you can't fake that on social media. You can't fake it through a call with a client, the initial call, because you spent hours with this person, and they're going to know you just as much as you know them. And that's what you really have to stick with.
Yeah.
And then differentiate your services in a smart business or marketing way. But really, it's about bringing your personality and being okay with that, but not being naive about it. There are local organizers that I have relationships with already. They're like, hey, I love that product. Where did you get it? And I'll give it to them. Most of the time. If it's something that I spent a lot of time on and it was like a very unique vendor I found, sorry, not going to do it. That's what clients pay me for. And that's the expertise I'm bringing to the table for them. But if it's something from the Container Store, Target, or something that can be easily found, honestly, we all know how to Google, I'll send it to them. But then just the other day, I had someone reach out and wanted a product, and I had never talked to them. I had met through social media in person, nothing. She worked for another local organizer who I also have never met. And she wanted to know where I got a product. And I'm like,
they're not working on building their community in order to.
Exactly. They just wanted the cheap way out. And they're like, no, maybe you should get to know me first or reach out or anything. So I chose in that situation not to share. So it's just choosing where you want your boundaries, but not when you get together with someone, giving them all your ideas. Like, oh, this is what I think I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And they're like, definitely. Great. Let me.
Yeah.
Because it really is. Fortunately, it's one of those things that you keep your enemies, you keep your friends close, your enemies closer.
Yeah.
You watch for that. But this is what, this is where I could go on my soapbox, because what male-led, male-dominant industry do you know that also says community over competition? None.
Yeah, none.
This is a female thing that, yes, it's great. We're not being catty. We're being supportive, and it's women supporting women. And I am 100% behind that. But at the same time, that doesn't mean I have to be friends with everyone. That doesn't mean I have to give away my product to everyone. It doesn't mean that I'm going to post on social media about local organizers doing cool things.
Yeah.
So there has to be that fine line of where am I in this as a smart business person who is out to make money, because women are allowed to make money and we're allowed to make a lot of it.
Yep. It's interesting because in my industry, owning an accounting firm, it's very male dominated. Huh? Most accounting firms either are owned, the partners are male most of the time. So being a completely female owned, my business partner is a woman as well, accounting firm, there are not a lot of communities for accounting firms. And I'll tell you, there are not enough of us. There are more people calling accounting firms than we have time for. And I wish there were more. So then I go look for community. It doesn't exist because it's a male-dominated industry. And so when I do find female accounting firms, I like hold on to them like they're my best friend.
Yeah.
But because too, when you're too booked, which happens all the time to accountants, you need somebody to refer business to. And I would imagine it happens the same in your space. Somebody calls you, they're like, I love you, I want to book you next week. And you're like, I'm booked out for 6 months, but here's another organizer who's really cool, does a great job. I think you'll really like them. So the worst thing you can do is be like, I don't know anybody. Sorry, you have to wait 6 months, or they disappear, because then the professionalism leaves too. So
yeah. And I've done that several times. Like even people who, I'm a brat and I don't like to travel far, because frankly, that's why I wanted to start my own business, because I was commuting far for years and I'm over it. So I don't travel that far from my house to do organizing sessions. So there are people that live 45 minutes to 60 minutes away from me that I'm like, I'm just not going to do that.
Yeah.
But here's someone that I know down there. So I think it has to be that, like you said, that's a professional courtesy that you give someone and you're still serving them.
Yeah.
It's really important to have that community. So you're not blindly referring somebody that then does a terrible job or actually does business in your.
So you've recently evolved your business. Talk to me a little bit about that. How are you differentiating yourself there in your local space?
I don't think this is a differentiation anymore. I grew my team. I talked about my assistant that reached out to me. She was my first one. And now, I think that was last July. And now I have a team of 6 or 7 of us, depending on who I need to call on at any time. That's not a differentiator, though, anymore. Because I feel like now, if you really want to compete, you need a team. Because people aren't going to wait 6 months, really, anymore. That's one of the biggest things I've realized, is that when clients call, it's no longer, tell me about you and how we could work together. It's, you're getting interviewed.
Yeah.
Questions for you that you know they're asking somebody else on the next call.
Yeah.
So,
and they want it done fast, right? I don't want it to take you 4 days. I want you and a team to come in and knock it out in a day.
And that's exactly how I differentiate myself, is that I don't do that.
Yeah.
I am a big believer that it's all about strategy behind. And doing a lot of research, not only on, a lot of it is on product, because I know people who will go in and say, do you have a shoebox? I'll wrap it in pretty paper and we'll use that. That's great. I'm not going to do that. I have a basket hang off a shelf. that you already own because it looks like crap and it gives you the feeling of clutter and Chicken Little with the ceiling falling on you.
Mm-hmm.
So I differentiate myself by slowing the process down so I can get to know you. I can get to know your lifestyle, how you live in your home, how you want to live in your home, what's working, what isn't, how this space affects another space, and really think through where things should be located and how. Because with an investment in product, an investment in the time, and really thinking through things, that's how you're going to maintain the space and have pride in it and really know that you got your money's worth out of it. Because like you said, this is a luxury service and it is an investment.
Definitely.
But it's an investment not in what you see. It's an investment in how you feel, how you function, how you can do other things now instead of having to worry about it. And there's so much stuff that you don't even realize it's bothering you until it's gone. Oh my God. I feel so free. Why?
I have a professional organizer in my neighborhood who I have used for years. First thing she did for me was my pantry. Changed my life. So silly, but she put wallpaper in my pantry, put amazing, beautiful decoration at the top because these stupid pantries are so high, like nothing goes up there. But it looks really pretty when you open it. It's very functional. And I got so excited about it. I had her do our travel trailer. We have a small 24-foot travel trailer where like you can't find anything because it's so small. She helped me get it all organized. And then we went on Christmas decorations, which is the fun part of the year that we're in right now. And I'm like, oh, look how easy it is to get it all out. I can put it right back where it belongs. There's so many cool functional ways. Like you don't have to do your whole house. It doesn't have to be a full thing, but getting a full thing done, getting the full redesign can completely transform the way that things do. The other thing she did for me was my kids' game closet. And now the game.
They play?
Yeah. And the kids are all in it all the time and it still can go back and fit. Yes. It's crazy.
Yeah, it really is. It's transformational that I did a coat closet for someone and they said it changed their life.
Is this the one you put on Instagram? Bench that was in the closet?
Oh, no, that was a different one.
That's my favorite thing I've ever seen. We'll have to find that Instagram reel and put it in the show notes because it's magical.
And that one I designed literally from scratch.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so cool. I love it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Lisa, you're amazing. What other final advice do you have for people when they're dealing with community and competition and connection and all the things that come in this space?
I don't want the sense of community to overpower your business sense, your business goals, and your drive. Because I think there's community outside of your market. Hang on to that.
Yeah.
That's your bread and butter. The competition in your community, if you think too much about it, you will either play the comparison game until you have zero confidence in yourself. It will hinder your innovation, your creativity, and your growth because you will constantly be worried about, I don't want to step on so-and-so's toes. I don't want to make it look like I copied them. I will say I had someone locally completely copy a service of mine and launch it at the same time, it seemed. I don't want that to stop me from still believing in my own service.
Yep.
That there are people that could use both of it from us because, again, we're two different people.
Yeah.
Consider it. Be a nice person. Don't be
a... Karma will come around too. Yeah. So don't steal people's ideas.
Don't be a... Karma will come around.
Yeah. And it is tricky, right? Like the whole concept of stealing ideas is tricky because... That's how evolution works, right? That's how it drives competition. It is, but it's a fine line too.
In advertising, we always said, is it better to be first or best?
Mm-hmm.
We never saw it.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing here in news. You never know where that person got the idea, where you got the idea. It seems like they did. Maybe they didn't. But harping on that is just going to make you, it's quicksand.
Yep. For sure.
So my whole thing is, like I said at the beginning, it's community over competition until competition is in your community.
Yep. I love it. On that note, Lisa, tell us where we can find you. How do we continue the conversation and where you're located so that if they are listening to this local, they can call you.
So I am on Instagram at the designer organizer. You can find me there too on Facebook. I think I put Carmel, Indiana on the back of it on Facebook because that is where I'm located. So I am in a northern suburb outside of Indianapolis, Indiana, in the good old Midwest.
All right, Lisa, thank you.
Oh, and my website is thedesignorganizer.com.
And her website's beautiful. You got to go check it out. It's a
no, my assistant did it. We'll have to put her name on there.
Mm-hmm. It's real good. All right, Lisa, thank you so much for coming by today. I really appreciate it. And if this is your first time listening, make sure you subscribe so that you don't miss next week's episode. I'm so glad you're part of the Beehive. Until next week, I'm your host, Melissa Leung. See ya. Well, that wraps it up. Thank you so much for listening. If you're new around here, please be sure to leave us a review on any podcast platform you're listening to. And you can always reach out to me to let me know what topics you're interested in hearing about, or maybe telling me someone you think would be great for the show. Either way, I'd love to hear from you. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram at EfficiencyBee. Until next time, see ya!